This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I know you're going to be passionate about the rocket bat.
Here is Belly. High drive.
With guest host, Bobby Bones.
Up the middle of the bat. Bumpy muscles one out.
Here's my biggest problem with this bat. My team didn't come up with it.
Three home run day for Aaron Judge.
Today's guests, Missouri head football coach, Eliah Drinkwitz. NFL Network analyst, Scott Pioli. Former NFL quarterback, Matt Cassel. Co-host of Mostly Sports with Mark Titus and Brandon Walker, Brandon Walker. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Bobby Bones.
There will be no April Fool's jokes today, only that I am here and Rich is not. I'm very sorry. I hate listening when my favorite show has a guest host, so I would like to acknowledge, I understand, I get it, I do. But yes, Rich is not here, he's on vacation. Rich texted me a couple times last night, and I'm like, shouldn't you be on vacation? My question to you guys, first of all, good morning, good afternoon, Chris, whatever
Bobby,
time zone people are in.
What up, dude?
Does Rich, when he goes on vacation, still work?
Oh, yeah, he can't shut it off.
Okay.
He does that thing where he claims, like, I'm tapping out, I'm putting the phone down, and I'm not, and then he's sending me Instagram reels. And I'm like, bro, what are we doing?
He did the same to me. He said, hey, checked out the show. Great job. Appreciate it. Never have to worry about it with you. But here's the reel. Will you collab? And I was like, oh, you're working. Got it. TJ, I cannot wait to do Cowboys Corner later today.
Will you collab?
Are you excited to talk a little Cowboys? We got some news about Micah Parsons coming up.
Yeah, and so what? You have that knowledge, and then you're going to ask me, am I excited? Like, yeah. Based upon what you know? No, of course I'm not excited.
I'm always excited to talk about my team, though, but how are you today? Good?
I was good until you just brought that up, and now it just brought me down a little bit.
Delicious. I will say, seriously.
TJ is kind, and he said, hey, I'm going to go make a coffee run. Would you like one? And it was like 4 minutes before the show started. I was like, how's he going to get back? And here he is, back.
Oh, no, TJ's
back.
Fast.
Yes.
It was like 9:20. But
I do want to do sports headlines and a few not, because in the last 24 hours, there have been quite a few updates and I would say even kind of breaking stories. And we'll start with NFL. NFL owners have tabled voting on the tush push. So tabled means they're going to do it again in May. And the Packers, I guess, were the ones to bring this up. And do the Packers look weak because they're the ones bringing it up? Like, you know, I think everybody doesn't want it but the Eagles. But one of the teams has to bring it up. And do they draw straws and it's like, all right, LaFleur, you guys have to go bring it up. You got to look like the weak ones.
Guys.
Yes. And so the NFL owners have tabled it. They will not have any sort of ruling on the tush push. And I want to play a clip before I go to you guys of Sirianni talking about injuries and if they happen and his data during the tush push.
You made the point that there's no injury data associated with it. There haven't been injuries.
I didn't make that point. They did.
Right.
Yeah.
But then sort of the counterpoint that the others have made seems to be there's injury concerns about it because of the nature of it and the forces. I mean, do you think that those concerns are valid at all? Do you have any?
Just, you know, again, I know what the data says and I know how we coach it. And we don't coach a push play any different than we coach a quarterback sneak play. So, like, you know, that if, you know, it's, yeah, again, the injury data says what it says, and we coach it the exact same whether somebody's pushing or whether somebody's not pushing. And I know that play's been, I think somebody said something about Bart Starr running the play a long time ago, so that play's been in for a very long time. There's probably a lot of injury. There's probably enough data on that play to get information from.
If I were king of football, which I would love that title, not sure if it's up, but if I were king of football, I would allow the tush push one time a half. I wouldn't cut it because then the Eagles are victorious and outsmarting everyone for the history of time, and I wouldn't like that if I were another team. So I would allow once a half, but I wouldn't cut it. But the thing about the Tush Push that is so boring is that it's so boring on television. Maybe I would allow it inside the five as many times as you want, but I hate it when it's like fourth and one from the 38 and they do it. And they do it again, third and one from the plus 27. And it's like all Tush Push all the time. Like, that's boring. And in the end, that's what wins. The entertainment value, the product. That's why we can't hit our quarterbacks anymore, because if they're hurt, the games aren't as good. Yep. And so the Tush Push is fair. The torpedo bats are fair. I think it's going to be different. Torpedo bats are going to make the game more fun. The Tush Push makes the game a little more boring to watch. And I think eventually there will probably be a, okay, we're just not going to allow you to pull or push players, and it will not be specifically Tush Push related. But that kind of exists now, where you can't grab a player and pull him into the end zone. Like, that, right. that's supposed to be a rule.
And if there's a scrum, you can't pull guys off.
Right.
Defensive players can't push.
They'll just reinforce that, right? And, and that will eliminate the Tush Push instead of going, we are now anti-Tush Push. Because that would look so weak to just eliminate a play that's fair.
And it just seems like you're piling on. It seems like an anti-Eagles play, which, TJ, I know you're into because you don't like them. But it's like,
that's true.
I feel like this team is so good at it, and it's boring, and it's kind of messy. Let's ban it. Well, that's not really the spirit of sports, right? The spirit of sports is to try to stop it, and to have, you know, the playing field be level. I do think though it eventually will get kind of retooled so that slowly gets eliminated, because, like you said, it's not very eye appealing and it's not aesthetically pleasing, and it does kind of slow the game down a little bit, and it's a little muddy. And to use your torpedo bat example, that's pretty interesting, because this makes it fun. Chicks did the long ball, and chicks do not dig rugby scrums for a 1 yard touchdown. And I think that because of that reason, that's why this play, I think, will ultimately, in a couple of months when they reconvene in May, I think will get modified.
I think the modification will be led by non-Tush Push language.
Right.
Because again, they can't just go no Tush Push.
Right.
But they can go after further review of whatever handpicked data they want to pick, because Lord knows you can pick any data and make it work. Because you're right, for the integrity of the game, you can't cut a play because it doesn't work. But for the integrity of what's entertaining on television, which is the number one product, which is where all the money comes from, like, it's boring. It's boring. We can't have boring television. And that's what sports is all about, us not being bored and sitting and playing fantasy and watching games. Next one up, NFL. Overtime changes. Both teams will now be able to possess the ball in overtime in the regular season, even if a team scores the first offensive touchdown. This should have happened a long time ago, but I'm not going to hate on it because they're just now doing it. I'm going to be happy because they are doing it now. You know, they had modified this to do it in the playoffs only, but now it will be every game. This from Schefter. This is a tweet. NFL owners have now passed a rule that both teams will be allowed to possess the ball in overtime in the regular season. The original proposal was for a 15-minute overtime. That has now been amended to 10 minutes. I also hate ties. An NFL tie feels so weak because I criticize soccer for ties feeling so weak. And I got a lot of, I know nothing about soccer, by the way, so I have a lot of ways to fix it. Since I know nothing about it, man, I can fix soccer like 10 different ways. But isn't this the most common sense rule change of all the things that we've read so far that probably should have happened a few years ago, but bureaucracy things take a little bit of time to happen. But yeah, both teams in overtime should have a chance, even if one scores a touchdown.
Completely disagree, but I lost this battle a long time ago. Football is a three-phase sport. You know what those phases are, Bobby? Offense, defense, special teams. Okay. They all work together. They're all equal. 33 1/3%. Right. So all of these rule changes have been like, no. The only thing that matters is offense. Well, what about defense? What about kicking? What about stopping them? No. Offense. That's all that matters. So that's what's kind of, that's what this rule is. I lost this battle a long time ago. I've accepted it. Look, coin flip, whatever, fine. Stop them. Stop them, and then you score, you win. If you can't let up a score, and then no, we get a chance. That's not in the spirit of football. That's not Vince Lombardi. That's not Curly Lambeau. That's not George Halas.
Why are you going all black and white?
That's not football.
You wear leather helmets? I mean, what's that's where you are right now. You,
5 yards in a
No, I'm not. No. Every rule change in the NFL today is for offense.
Yes, you know why? Back to level one of it's fun, it's entertaining. It has to be, or we don't watch it anymore.
Oh, the person sitting in that chair has told me he loves 13-10 games.
Not me. I'm sitting in this chair, and I don't love 13-10 games.
10-7, great defensive battle.
Oh, no, and I don't like 1-0 baseball games either.
You don't like a good pitcher's duel?
I do not like. No, I do not.
If you don't like any of that, why wouldn't you want rules that would increase the scoring?
Well, and tell you the three phases of your game, I'm just using what you just said, are offense, defense, and coin flip. That would be the three.
No.
Because there is a disadvantage based on a coin flip right at the when overtime starts.
So then change the opening coin flip to be like, oh, you either take the ball here, second half, or overtime. You take the chance that there might be overtime, then you get the ball first. Change that rule. Don't like add extra time. Let both teams get the ball. How about you stop someone?
You're the dealer asking me if I want to split sevens before you even throw a hand out. I'm confused now. What's happening?
Splitting sevens, only against a six.
I think this is a great change. I think it's a common sense change. I love it. And if it's about integrity, like you had mentioned a few minutes ago, you're Mr. Integrity, Chris. I'm surprised. This is the least integral opinion I've heard from you.
I just don't like the constant rule changes for something that wasn't ever broken. Like, think about the only reason
it was broken. It was very broken.
It was not at all. The only reason this happened is because the Bills couldn't play defense for 13 seconds. And then they bitched and moaned. And then they got, both teams get a possession now. Or the Chiefs and the Falcons couldn't stop the Patriots in overtime. They gave up a touchdown. You shouldn't get a chance to tie the game after your defense just got worked for 80 yards.
You're putting way too much on the coin flip in overtime. Way too much on the coin flip. That's it. That's the only reason I don't feel like that.
There's always been a coin flip, okay? Play defense.
But the coin flip at the beginning of the game is a bit different because you've got two halves and then you get the even up at halftime where the other team gets the ball at half. That's even. That third period, that is an uneven coin flip.
We're talking about even now? Sports are now even and
fair?
We're
talking about integrity. Mm. And you know what? Right now,
interesting.
You lost it. All of it.
I still like you, though.
Speaking of integrity, Aaron Rodgers. He got together with Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver DK Metcalf and actually had a buddy call me last night to go, hey, I saw Rodgers throwing to DK Metcalf at UCLA. And then it was in this morning. I was reading about it. I thought I was coming in with a hot scoop, boys. I thought I was coming in, but I guess you guys probably knew that already. But yeah, Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf, playing a little catch, working out a little bit. So we're feeling it like it's closer and closer of Rodgers to the Steelers. Yeah. I mean, where else is he going to go except he's going to wait and possibly land in Pittsburgh? But if he's throwing with DK specifically, first of all, I think they would hide it more if they wanted to hide it, right? This is my Aaron Rodgers he needs to eat his little fish food. That's how he's fed with being in the headlines. This is purposefully happening in public, and I don't mind it, but any news indicating from yesterday to today, Chris, that you've seen that Aaron Rodgers may end up with Pittsburgh, any more so?
Seems like it's almost inevitable at this point. I just thought it was funny, TJ, the video that I saw of the one pass that Rodgers threw. Remember when a couple years ago and Tua threw a bomb and they tweeted it out, but it was actually a terrible pass and it was kind of floating in the wind? Rodgers threw kind of a duck, and I'm just like, this is the video? Like, you have a hand-picked photographer there to take all these pictures and put it on his Instagram that you can be like, oh, leaked images of Rodgers and DK throwing at UCLA. No, you handpicked all of this, right? And that's the video you chose to let out? Not a perfect NFL Films type spiral with the tight zoom and then the fade. No, you chose to release a duck.
I'm hiring a new digital guy. But this was completely on purpose.
Like your boy Reed should have been out there. Wait, what was going on?
Yeah, Reed would have known not to put me throwing a duck up.
Not to put the duck pass out.
He would have done one of those Photoshop type things where Tom Brady throws it back into the jug machine and it comes back at him. That's the kind of stuff Reed would have done for me, for sure. a non-sports story. You guys watch Black Mirror at all? The show Black Mirror on Netflix. It's my favorite show ever.
Oh, no.
It's completely twisted. It's the greatest show that's ever been invented in the history of shows.
You like dark and twisted.
I do. And we're 2 weeks away from season 7 premiere. The White Lotus finale is coming up this weekend. My wife has been watching White Lotus. I have not. And she did something for me recently where I was going to watch episode 1 of season 2 of Squid Game, which I love Squid Game. And she was like, I'll catch up. Don't start season two until... But I said, well, it's 2 days away. And she goes, I'll watch every episode. I'm like, you can't do that. So she did. And she crammed it all in on like a Friday and a Saturday. And so I'm trying to cram in all of White Lotus until the finale. And here's the thing about White Lotus. Any White Lotus watchers here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously no spoilers because I'm not there yet. But I like it while it's on. I don't crave going back to it. But once I get to it, I'm good. But I can't, like right now, I'm not like, I'm dying to see what happens next. But once I hit play, like I'm in. It's the weirdest show like that.
Weirdest show.
I feel you.
Rewatchable? It's not one of those things like, oh man, I can't wait to go rewatch Breaking Bad or Sopranos or something. I feel like White Lotus isn't really one of those shows. But like you said, when you hit play, I kind of fall in. I'm at the resort with them. I'm kind of along for this slow burn journey, twisted, messed up life that they're all leading. I'm with you. I like it.
I'm just not dying to get back to it, though.
No, but it's fun.
Yeah. March Madness Final Four Power Rankings and picks against the spread. So here we go. If you were to rank the teams 1, 2, 3, and 4, who would you? I'd put Duke at 1. Chris?
Easily, hands down.
TJ, we all there? Yep. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've got them winning, so
yeah.
I have no choice.
Yeah, but I have Auburn winning because I picked them early, and I don't have them at 1. I've got Florida at 2, Houston at 3, and Auburn at 4 in my new power rankings. And for those interested, and if you do like to place a little money on action, if it is where you are, Duke, a 4.5-point favorite versus Houston, and Florida is a 2.5-point favorite versus Auburn. So I think this is an exciting battle of the brands matchup. As boring as this kind of was getting to this point with no real Cinderella, I do like the Final Four being big-time brands. I think it's pretty cool. And then, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I like that Florida's back in this. You know, they're the last kind of mini dynasty we had, the last team to go back-to-back. So I like that it could be them and Duke. You know, everyone's talking about this being maybe the best Duke team ever. Is Cooper Flagg the best freshman, you know, ever in college basketball history? No, obviously not. Still Carmelo Anthony. And so I like that those two could kind of face off in a battle royale.
Florida basketball excites you?
No, I like the fact that I like the storyline of them being back in it to prevent Duke when they were the last team to go back to back.
I hear you. Just Florida basketball like does not excite me at all.
Teddy Dupay doesn't get the heart pumping?
No. Like Noah does.
You remember that dude, TJ? Teddy Dupay?
Yeah, I do.
And
Florida. Corey Brewer.
Is Florida the best collegiate athletic program of all time, meaning basketball, football, baseball?
Ooh.
Whoa. Like that's a meta question. But maybe in the last 50 years.
When was the last time they won a football championship?
Spurrier,
90?
Sure. But that counts. I mean, them or Stanford. I mean, there's a few that just come to mind.
Stanford has golf.
Oh, we can't do like swimming. We do track. Arkansas is in there. So we can do that.
Tiger Woods.
LSU.
LSU's a good one.
Because the women have won a title, not the men necessarily, but the football team and the baseball team are both always
gymnastics.
Good.
Yeah, see, I put us down a road I want to go down. And finally, Torpedo Bats. Ellie Dela Cruz went off last night. Went off.
I don't think his home runs have landed yet.
Where I think if it would have happened tonight, I would have thought it was April Fool's that they were, because I was watching as the game was going on, and he had a single, a double, two home runs. He had 7 RBIs. They won 14-3, and the Torpedo Bat was in action.
He was up 12. They were up 12-0, the Reds. Ellie's at bat needing a triple for the cycle, and he hits one 440 off the wall in center.
The Torpedo Bat is going to keep the mound from being lowered. This is just me making a baseball, because again, let's lower the mound. Because
maybe they should raise the mound.
Well, I do think that the advantage that was pitching is now going to be equaled by this bat, which I'm just surprised that they haven't done this earlier. Because we fit golf clubs to people. This is like fitting a golf club to a player. Like when you're swinging, where are you hitting the ball on the bat? Let's make it fatter there.
Yeah, it was super interesting. I was listening to Bryson Stott of the Phillies talk about this yesterday, and there is a hit lab. It's literally like if you've been fitted for golf clubs, you go in, they got simulators, they got cameras, they measure, you know, how you're swinging, where you're hitting it on the face. Same thing with the bat. And so if you're a guy that, you know, hits it higher on the end of the bat, the torpedo bat is not for you, and it's not going to work. But if you're a guy who, you know, has an inside swing and you're getting jammed a little bit more, it is perfect for you. So it's like funny to see these guys kind of use this thing and the results of the weekend. It's kind of taken over Major League Baseball, which is kind of fun and quirky to start the year like this. Man, I just Where is this going, though? Is it going to be a topic all season long?
Well, my final thought on the torpedo bats, because I do want to get to Coach Drink in just a second, is the players that hit a lot of balls off the end of the bat. I can't wait to see, like, the fat head at the end. Like, that's where the fat is. Like, all the bats have a different part of fat on them, depending on where you hit. That would be the beauty of it.
What are you doing?
Next, one of my favorite football coaches, the University of Missouri coach, Eli Drinkwitz. Coach Drink is coming on with us. He has so much to say all the time. I love him, and he will be back. It's Bobby Bones in for Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show. Yes, we're back.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Let's talk about Pesty People. It's a do-it-yourself pest control. You can protect your home easily and at a quarter of the cost. Nobody likes being bugged, especially by, well, bugs. Nobody wants bugs in their home. My daughter sees a bug anytime. She doesn't sleep at night. We don't want that. When they show up at your home, you want them gone fast. Other pest control companies charge over $800 a year, but with Pesty, you can get started at just $35 per treatment with a customized plan based on your location, bugs, and climate. Everything you need is provided in one simple kit. Protect your home from bugs with Pesty. Go to pesty.com/Eisen for an extra 10% off your order. That's PESTIE.com/EISEN for an extra 10% off. Again, for 10% off your order, go to pesty.com/Eisen.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I need new rotors.
When you buy two Duralast rotors during our spring sale, you get Duralast brake pads free.
Free?
With the rotors.
Well, that's great. What if I need extra stopping power?
You can upgrade to Duralast gold pads for just $10.
So Duralast pads are free?
Yep.
And an upgrade is just $10?
That's right. Part of the spring sale at AutoZone.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Whenever they have a shot of a head coach.
The cutaway.
Mm-hmm. We like to guess what that individual is like as a stepfather.
Brockman, who's up first? Who do we have up first here?
First up, Alabama head coach, Nick Saban.
Taking a look at Nick Saban.
Nick Saban is the kind of stepfather that, regardless of how different he may seem to you, in every single Christmas card photo, his hair has been the exact same since he married your mother. He's also the kind of stepfather that wears dress pants and then a white tank top undershirt all the time, unless he leaves the house and then he puts on the dress shirt.
Former 49er head coach, current Michigan head coach, Jim Harbaugh.
Be gentle here.
You be having a conversation with him. Mm-hmm. You think it's going really great. Mm-hmm. And then he just all of a sudden gets a look on his face and he goes, "What was that?" And your heart just goes into your throat and you think you've said something horribly wrong. And you instantly start thinking about all the things that you could possibly be getting in trouble for.
Do we have Tom Sula?
We have a bonus line.
Yeah, got Tom Sula?
I've got this one. What about your current
Niner head coach?
He is the kind of guy that he will be having a conversation with you and he'll never be looking at you. And he'll be going, "How was your day? You got a good day?" And you start telling him how your day was. And then he'll always go, "Hey, honey, what's for dinner?" No matter what you're talking about, you'd be burying your soul. Yeah.
So hold on a minute. So I'll be your stepson.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Richie, how was the day?
That was great. Dad, let me tell you about what was going on.
Hey, honey, have you seen the clicker? Where's the clicker?
You guys go check out the YouTube page. It's all up on YouTube, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. And then at Rich Eisen Show on all the socials, a lot of great clips. You guys have a great clip department here. I watched the clip department at work yesterday. I wish I had a kid to bring to work for bring a kid to work day. Bobby Bones in for Rich Eisen. Thank you guys for being here. All right, so let me say this desk that I'm sitting at now, if you happen to be watching, this is an excellent desk. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. I'd like to make it a Shakespearean analogy, if I may. And I hope this doesn't catch everybody off guard, but our next guest is the Romeo to my Juliet. You know, Romeo was a Montague. Juliet was a Capulet. And Coach Drink from Missouri, I should hate him with every part of my body because I am a diehard Arkansas fan, and he is the Missouri head football coach, and all he does is beat us and talk crap, but I love him. Coach, you can't get enough. You're the Juliet. I'm the Juliet, one of the two. Good to see you, Coach.
You know, you might be the most versatile radio host or TV show host in the country. You know, we're doing all these draft analysis. You know, at some point they need to do an analysis of the different hosts for all these different shows. I think you're like a utility player, right?
I am. I'm pretty good at a lot of things. And we did measure my arms yesterday just to see in case the draft. And I had extremely long arms and larger hands than Kenny Pickett. So 6'1" with like 9.5-inch hands. So feeling pretty good today. Thanks for the compliment, Coach. I do want to talk.
What they say about big hands, right?
Not true, though. I can tell you just from it's not true.
Big gloves. They
say. Yeah.
I was talking about it's better for you to be able to hold the football in cold weather. I don't know where you were going with that.
Yeah, that was not it. Let's talk about the drafts that you bring it up. You got Mimbu, excellent lineman. Are you getting a lot of calls that go, hey, what kind of guy is he? Or what do they ask whenever you have a player that's about to be drafted?
Man, it ranges. Different organizations ask different questions. You know, the first conversation really with Armand is it's all about his age. You know, what's his maturity level like? Obviously, early enrollee, early NFL entry, kind of background information, what character, what character. And then everybody in the NFL is always consumed with, like, what's your comp? What's your comparable offensive lineman that you've coached in the past that we would recognize? And so those are kind of the questions we're getting right now with Armand. The different questions for, I know you didn't ask about it, but Luther are all about, you're hearing some of these anonymous quotes or anonymous scouts. And so now these go into what is the real truth? You know, we had one, I guess he's still on the draft. I don't know. He's not on ESPN anymore for whatever reason. But, you know, he said that Luther Burden was a diva. And so trying to counteract some of those conversations and questions has really been what I've doing. I'm talking to a lot of GMs, talking to a lot of position coaches and giving them the truth of who these players are.
Is a lot of your day now draft related? Because again, you have, I mean, we could go Bird and we could go, you know, you mentioned him on Mimbu, even like Brady Cook and people maybe calling ask, like, is that a lot of what's happening right now? Because we are getting so close to the draft.
Yeah, it really is. Ever since pro day, we were on spring break. I was with my family and I'm spending a lot of time talking on the phone. I was at dinner twice talking to two GMs about different guys. And you're absolutely right. Brady Cook, Theo Weiss, Johnny Walker are all getting conversations, too, about what is their character? What are we missing? What don't we know? And it's been really fun. I think the best one to talk about, though, has been for me, it's been, you know, having conversations about Luther Burden because there are these like quiet critics out here who say he has a character problem. And you know, my response to everybody has been he's never been arrested. He's never had a public incident at our university. He has never once been to my office to complain about his role, never once complained publicly about I'm not getting enough touches, has just been a great teammate and All-American, you know, throughout his time here, never once came in to go tried to renegotiate NIL, never one time heard from him, his parents or his agent about his NIL contract. Every time just said, I'll trust you. Never once was the highest paid player on my football team. And yet people are out there saying stuff from the shadows. And so that's honestly been the funnest thing is being able to combat rumors with truth. And that's always a fun part of your job.
Now, I'm not going to ask you to fundamentally fix NIL, but something we're seeing now in basketball that also happened in football was the the NIL portal, they're so they live together now, basically, in the Venn diagram. And like the portal's open as the tournament's happening. During bowl season, the portal was open while the games are still being played. So I'm not asking to fix everything, but shouldn't they fix the dates on when this can actually happen?
I mean, one of the fundamental problems that we have within sports right now and with college athletics is we try to run a multi-billion dollar industry through the lens of 22 sports, specifically within the SEC. And you cannot find rules that adequately work for football and wrestling or baseball or men's golf or women's soccer. Like, they're all different, but we're trying to establish a settlement or a rule for everyone and trying to have an umbrella, and just doesn't work. You know, specifically, yeah, I mean, we're ruining an awesome Sweet 16 and Final Four, or we're, in my opinion, greatly hurting the playoffs, because the conversations aren't about the teams on the field. They're about who's in the portal and what's their team going to look like next year. And it just takes all of the focus off of the wrong things. You know, I think the NFL is a master at what they do. They have figured out how to be in the news cycle every month. They have something related to the NFL every month, whether it's free agency, whether it's the combine, whether April is all about the draft and owners meetings. We haven't figured out how to do that. And the problem is, it's because we're trying to solve everybody's issues with one umbrella, and it's just not going to be able to do that. You know, fundamentally, the issue that football has is it doesn't line up with the academic dates. So, you know, if we were to try to remove the portal window from January to the end of the playoffs, you'd be in the middle of February. Well, the problem with that is young men wouldn't have the ability to enroll in schools. Basketball doesn't have that issue. So I don't understand why basketball couldn't wait until, you know, April 7th to open their portal for 15 days and then let people figure out where they're going in May. But again, I got my own issues with football.
Coach Drink is on with us now from the University of Missouri. There was a brief time where I was being, I will even say recruited, not for sports, but to run for governor of my home state. And once I learned it was all being on the phone asking for money, I was like, I'm kind of out. Like, that feels very boring. Like, I just want to go and make decisions. And so is that more of what your job is now than it's ever been, is just trying to find ways to make sure your players are adequately covered financially?
Yeah, that's what it's been for the last three and a half years. But I hopefully with the new revenue share revenue and all that, that'll kind of funnel into the athletic department side and just go back into the fundraising for that, and won't be as sport specific and maybe not even above and beyond what you're trying to do for the revenue share piece. And hopefully you're actually just taking the money that you're generating through the revenue that you're making as an athletic department, not having to ask. I think the struggle with NIL and money while right now is why it's not sustainable, is because you're asking boosters and donors to go above and beyond their commitment from tickets and scholarship donations and suites and all that stuff. And at some point that's going to always run out of money. So hopefully you can tie it into the rev share. But I did see, you know, with the Razorback Sweet 16 appearance, I saw where you were on the, you know, giving another 50,000 or something to their NIL. So that was pretty good. I mean, they kind of got you.
Was that public?
Right?
I swear to you, I did not know that was public. I did not, like, I don't mind. Because you're not making a joke.
I thought you tweeted it.
I didn't tweet that.
In for another 50. Great job, Cal.
Wait, did you literally see that somewhere? This is a real question. Or did you make that up? Because that's an exact.
No, I swear. I thought I saw it on your Twitter.
That's an exact. No, you didn't see it on my Twitter. That's an exact number of an amount. Somebody's hacked into my account. And Coach Drake is the one that. Wow. Okay. I'm a little shook right now. Because I did.
I did
donate $50,000 to the, and I didn't know anybody knew that. And now Drink just put me on blast, but apparently it wasn't blast. It was public. Okay. I got some people to hit up after this interview. All right, Coach. I see what we're doing here.
What an awesome thing, man. I mean, seriously.
I'm giving it to you. Yeah. I'm giving it to you. You guys have enough. You guys are doing awesome. I don't know. You guys have all the players. Coach, how are you getting players up there? Like, what is your pitch? Obviously, everyone is trying to make sure the players are financially stable, but what's the pitch about coming up to Missouri?
Man, I think recruiting is all about selling what you believe you're going to do in the future or what you've done in the past. And for us, you know, with guys like Armon Membu and Luther Burden, we were selling what we believed we could do. And we wanted to recruit the best players in our state and keep them home and develop them and put them in the NFL. And you look at what we've done, you know, with Luther and Armon, a guy from St. Louis, a guy from Kansas City who were highly recruited. And in 3 years, both of them are going to be first round draft picks. They came in here. They got the opportunity to play. They were developed with an elite edge by Ryan Russell and our strength staff. They had unbelievable coaching. They were put in a great situation by playing in the SEC to put their talents and skills to use. And then obviously they're going to get to do that on Sundays now in the NFL. So I think when you have things that you can sell, tangible evidence, it's really good. And then when you don't, you have to sell a vision for what you believe is in the future. And you know, fortunately for us right now, the University of Missouri and our fan base is buying what we're selling. You know, we've got a $250 million North End Zone project going right now. We've got two first round draft picks. And we've put together a really talented football team for this upcoming season. And so hopefully, you know, last year we had a first round draft pick. This year, I believe we'll have two first round draft picks. And so for us, the challenges for our staff and for our player acquisition is we got to go make sure we have another first round draft pick. And that's how you build into the program that we want to become.
Coach got me a little shook right now with that donation announcement. I didn't even know that was public. But see, this is why I love you. And I'm going to switch script up a little bit because I do a lot of shows and I'm in a lot of places, hopefully, and things are going pretty well. And there are times where I just say stuff that I know is going to get picked up because it's like, well, yeah, I'm going to say something. It's probably going to catch people in a weird way. And I know that it's going to make some noise. You say a lot of stuff, Coach, that gets picked up in at odd times and places. Any of that ever on purpose? Or sometimes are you just feeling it and they catch you off?
Both. Both. I think the one I had a couple of years ago about Tennessee was totally, I did not anticipate that to go the way it did. I think early in my career, I made a comment about Kirk Herbstreit that I did not anticipate to go the way it did. But now that I've sat in this seat and understand, you know, the microscope that a head SEC coach has, now I'm a little bit more aware of what I say. I think 2 years ago, I made a comment about, you know, conference realignment and how I disagreed with it for the fact that it was a football decision and not really based upon what was best for the student athletes all the way across the board. And I knew that would get picked up and ran with, and I was comfortable with it. I was comfortable with my comments and comfortable with my stance. And so I let it rip. So I think it's early in my career. I didn't really understand it, but now I'm to the point now where I understand what is said and how it's going to be taken.
Greatest hits for me is the Tennessee one you're talking about. We stand on business. Is that the one you're talking about at midfield?
Yeah.
That one.
I
awesome.
Got ran over by my own crew there. That was a mic'd up moment. I knew I was wearing a microphone, but I thought for sure we would have creative control and be able to catch that and make sure that didn't become public. And yeah.
My other favorite is I think last season when Cook was hurt and you were like, you're lucky we don't have our starting quarterback, and they kind of caught you over there on that one. I like that one too. That was a good one.
Yeah. That one I didn't really understand that was going to be on there. That was another one that, you know, in the heat of moment, like again, last year on the sidelines, Barstool Sports caught me against Mississippi State. You know, I didn't really think that one would go anywhere either, but it did. And it's all right. It is what it is.
Yeah. And I didn't think Coach would come on and say, I just gave $50,000 to the school and it is what it is. You know, I mean, that's why I love him.
Bro, I mean, that's a serious flex just to be dropping
but
50K.
I wasn't flexing though. Like there was no flex would have been me saying it.
I mean, you're like a super booster. Like, dude, you would be like at this level.
Hey, listen,
like sideline passes and I mean, you ought to be in the locker room celebrating with Cal when they go to the Sweet 16. Incredible. I bet Pittman would have you down to the lake house, man, when you're down there at Oaklawn sometime.
You know what, Coach? I'm going to say this because this is why I love him. He's triggering me a little bit and not even at him, but it's like, you know, I'm a few hundred gur into the program and I can't even get a call back sometimes. I bet you if I was giving that money to Missouri, I'd be getting calls back, wouldn't I?
Yeah, you'd be getting text messages pretty regularly. But hey, here's the deal, man. You got nothing but excitement in the future, man. I think Sam put together a really good football team. I've been watching what they do out of the portal, obviously, because we play them. Obviously, what Coach Cal did with the basketball program was awesome. And shoot, baseball with Coach Van Horn is always really good. So you just keep investing. Their time's coming, man.
I want to ask
you. And I know they appreciate you. I know they do.
You don't know they do. I don't know they do. They don't let me know. But let me ask you this. You're a former high school coach. Does that affect your relationship with high school coaches now because you've been in their shoes?
Yeah, I think it always helps me develop real relationships with those guys and understand where they're coming from. You know, I don't always get their players and I don't always get it right, you know, in recruiting their guys. Sometimes they want me to take guys that I can't take, or sometimes they send guys to other places. But we have a good enough relationship that I can understand where they're coming from. They can understand where I'm coming from. I've got another guy on my staff, Rick Jones, who is from Arkansas in Oklahoma, who does a great job maintaining those relationships, cultivating those relationships. Again, when we stepped foot at the University of Missouri, we said, in order for us to win at the level we want to win, we have to recruit this state better and harder than anywhere else. And I think we've actually been able to do that consistently. We've had a few leaks. I mean, I lost Ryan Wingo to Texas and Aeneas Williams to Notre Dame. So we haven't been perfect, but we've been pretty good. And if we can continue just to get a little bit better, then we'll continue to put this program where we want. I think we've done a pretty good job expanding our radius. You know, we try to recruit 400 mile radius and continue to get the best players, whether it's in Illinois. We haven't really got into Iowa the way we want to. We've got into Arkansas a little bit, getting into Oklahoma and Kansas a little bit more. And if we can continue to do that, I think that's the key to our success.
I love them, and I shouldn't. It's Coach Drink from Missouri. Good luck, I guess. But, yeah, I don't know. What do you say to Coach? Good to see you, Coach, and hopefully I talk to you again soon. And I hope you have a great offseason, I guess.
Hey, man, again, if there's a versatility ranking, I mean, you've got the ability to be, you know, Dr. Phillish. You got the ability to host musical guests and radio, and now you're on the Rich Eisen show with the NFL draft prep. I mean, golly, that's pretty impressive, man. Keep up the good work.
See, now we're good again. See, but he glazed me at the end, and now I feel good about
that's
it.
That's right.
All right,
that's
Coach, have a great rest of the day. There he is. Our buddy, Coach Drake from Missouri. Man, just threw me under the bus like that.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Let's talk about Live Good, folks. Live Good is awesome. I always feel like I'm at my best with Live Good, and what's better than that? Because Live Good believes that everyone deserves access to high-quality supplements without the insane markups. They offer premium products formulated by an industry-leading team of natural health experts, and they cut out the middleman to sell them at some of the lowest prices anywhere. They have organic super greens, multivitamins, I take those, collagen, weight loss products, protein powder, creatine, detox, hormone products, skincare products, all highest quality products at prices people can actually afford. Ready to make the switch and start saving? Well, we'll make it even easier for you. Use our link and you can save an additional 10% off your first order on top of the already lowest prices. Just go to livegood.com/rich to save 10% on your first order. That's livegood.com/rich. Don't miss out on this opportunity to invest in your health without overspending. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
I did not approve this, but, you know, that's part of me delegating to you, our social media grandmaster. You put out on Instagram a photograph. It says Breaking Bears Trading for Russell Wilson. And what's today's date?
It is April 1st, Rich.
And that is what? It is April Fool's Day. So it's 5 minutes to air. And I have my phone's on the desk and it's buzzing. And
yeah.
And I see it is, you know, it's Jeff Garland. And of course, you know, I connect with Jeff. And he's very upset. He's definitely one of the biggest Bears fans that I know, and he's always been very kind to show up on this show. I think he's very pissed off. As a matter of fact, I think he's not only so very pissed off that he cursed on our Instagram page in response.
Yep.
We have to black it out right there. Go fill in the blank yourself. I will have my revenge. Is the caller there? Is the caller there on the
chat?
Jeff from Chicago.
What's funny about it? Nothing's funny about it. Nothing is funny about it. Not a thing. Let me tell you something. I want to make this clear.
Yes.
Today is a beautiful, wonderful day. I had a delightful day filming Curb Your Enthusiasm. I am in a great mood. And then our friend Doug Robinson texts me.
Yes.
Capital left, Russell Wilson. He says, you know, Rich doesn't usually get the scoops. Adam Schefter should be on this. Well, that should have made me suspicious.
Yeah.
But no, I have so much respect for the Rich Eisen show that I know that they have connections that nobody else has.
That's true.
Well, you know what, Rich? I'm not going to swear, but I got to tell you, your little social media boy, he's going to get his. Oh, my God. He's gonna get his.
TJ, you traded off our gravitas, our brand of being a trusted name
and
news.
And by the way, you're saying that kind of jokingly, but the reality is, your show gets respect.
Thank you. TJ, do you have anything to say to Jeff Garland?
Yeah. Happy April Fool's Day.
All right. Hey, TJ, you don't know what you've brought down on yourself. You don't even have a clue.
I'm ready for it.
The power that I have, especially in practical jokes, I'm going to nail you so hard.
Pause.
You know what? I hope you enjoy your testicles right now because they're going to disappear.
No, but I need them.
Oh, my God.
That's funny. Like, that's just funny.
Are you an April Fool's guy?
I used to be. I got in trouble in my career. I've done some things.
So you did a prank that people did not.
Many. And I've been fined $1 million for different. We've had people put in jail. We've done things that keeps me from chasing elaborate stunts for the sake of it being a stunt. I got fined $1 million by the FCC once that wasn't an April Fool's joke, but it really has kept me from dipping my toe back into the world of screwing with folks.
See, Bobby, but I made it clear there. That was so simple. I didn't put much effort into that. I just posted a meme and we didn't get fined.
We did once. We had a little fake plush dog and we put balloons on it and floated it up. And it was, this is a long time ago. And everybody freaked out. And I just done a lot. So I stay away from April Fool's now.
It's funny.
For the most part, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Thank you very much. Bobby in for Rich. Thank you guys for being here. Don't let the urge to sing along to that catchy tune distract you from that truck drifting towards your lane or that lane-splitting biker creeping up beside you. Fortunately, every Hyundai offers advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. And Hyundai has over 120 IIHS Top Safety Awards since 2006 because Hyundai is always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. Hyundai vehicles have won over 120 IIHS Top Safety Awards from 2006 to 2024. You can watch us on the Roku channel. So thank you for everybody who's watching. You can listen to the podcast, which I listen to almost every single night. My wife.
My wife.
My, I forget you're not making fun of me. That is Borat. That's right. There's a very small difference between Borat and guy from Arkansas. Just for you, just so you guys know the accent.
Just know we would never make fun of you to your face.
Okay, fair enough.
That's not true. We would. We absolutely would.
No, I'd rather do it to his face.
Yeah, you don't want to hear it secondhand.
My wife, you guys are on the allowed list because I used to go to sleep with the television on when we first got together, and it would always be watching TV when it fell asleep.
Can I interrupt Bobby real quick?
Yeah.
You keep saying my wife. What's the missus' name?
Her name is Caitlin.
Yeah.
Caitlin, yeah.
Caitlin. Hi,
yeah.
Caitlin.
And she's she's not listening. Don't worry. She has no interest in this. And so she would be like, man, I can't sleep with the TV on. So I'm like, how about a podcast? If I keep a podcast on at night, like under my pillow, I need something on, some sort of stimulation to fall asleep. And I listen to you guys most nights. And she knows you, and you are on the approved list of energy, but not too energetic.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because we don't get on here yell and scream a lot.
Price is Right, though. Sure, that one a couple times. She's like, okay, we can't do that one. Yeah, I can't do that one.
But that was exciting times here, though.
That very much was.
You know?
I want to go to Ryan the Roofer in Philadelphia, who's on the phone right now.
Ryan the Roofer.
To talk the overtime rules. Hey, Ryan, welcome to the Rich Eisen Show. I'm Bobby Bones. How's it going, man?
Hey, Bobby. How you doing, man?
Really good. What do you think about this?
I think the NFL's complicating it like they do everything else. I think we started out with one adjustment to overtime, and that wasn't good enough, so we added another and another, and it's just one bad idea on top of another. I think they need to simplify it, take it down to an extra period, 10 or 15 minutes, and if any team scores consecutive, the game's over. That keeps all three phases of the game intact. That adds sudden death, and it guarantees each team gets to touch the ball.
Consecutive, you mean they need to score twice in a row?
Yeah, like, okay, so the Bills-Chiefs game, the 13-second game, for instance, Chiefs score a field goal. Bills get the ball back, they three and out. Chiefs score another field goal. Game's over.
I mean, I hear you. That just seems like we're complicating it even more. I think they're decomplicating it by just going, we're going to treat this like we do the rest of the game. Because that's what they're doing with the new rule. If you guys missed it earlier, overtime rules is both teams now get a chance to touch the ball. Just like in the real first quarter, second, you know, the first half, you flip the coin. Yeah. Okay, you get the ball at the beginning.
I don't know, Bob. It's just I actually called the last time this was an issue, and I was on hold the whole time, and I didn't get to talk on it. I don't know. I just feel like it needs to be simplified. An extra period of play. Whoever's winning at the end of it wins. But sudden death aspect is if any team scores consecutive. It doesn't necessarily mean it has to end in sudden death. It could just be, you know, a 10-minute period to the end, and whoever's winning wins.
It sounds like you and Chris would just like there to be a coin flip, and that picks the winner of the game.
Just
flip a coin, and if it's heads, the Bills win. If it's tails, the Chiefs win.
You kept coming back to the, you know, it gives the advantage to the team that wins a coin flip.
Yeah.
It's actually the opposite. It gives the advantage to the team that gets the ball second. Because the team that gets the ball first, they're really operating under the three down, and then on fourth down, we either kick or kick a field goal or maybe tush push if it's fourth and one, right? But if they do kick a field goal, right? Well, the second team that gets the ball knows that they will have all four downs at their disposal to go for it. So now instead of being a three play to get 10 yards and then you kick or do whatever, now it's four plays to get 10 yards. The second team actually has the advantage now.
I love your passion. I would say the first team has the advantage because if they score a touchdown, it's over, the end.
No, not anymore.
Well, not anymore, but I'm saying in the old system that you liked, the old Wild West days.
Yes, I do like that.
Yeah, where they had polio and
everything was black and white.
And we all listened to AM radio.
I think polio is coming back.
It is. Sadly, it is coming back. I know. Bobby Bones, in for Rich Eisen, where we talk about polio and overtime rules here today. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Check us out on the YouTube channel as well. Two things happened this morning that have shaken me a little bit physically. Number one, we are staying at the Hyatt near the airport. I've never stayed in a hotel as close to the airport if it hasn't been the case where like my flight got canceled and they shoved me in an airport. So we stayed because that's near-ish where this studio is. But we just picked a hotel. And so this morning, I thought, I'm going to take advantage of the free breakfast.
Oh.
I love a free breakfast.
Yeah, who knows?
It was pretty money. I think I had some sausage, though, that wasn't quite right.
Uh-oh. Like it was not fully cooked or it was a little old and expired. Like what part of not right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Just a yes. And it was a little cold. And I knew initially, since it was cold, it definitely could have been confused for tofu.
Ooh.
but it wasn't. So I'm not like I feel an early indicator. Yeah.
Oh no.
I probably
the bubble guts.
I probably shouldn't have eaten the cold sausage that could have been confused for tofu.
Was it a patty or a link?
It was
a good link. Good question, TJ. Link.
Because I think patties are safer because patties have to be cooked throughout because if they're pressed. They're pressed down.
Facts, yeah.
A link. Who just knows what's in the middle of it unless you cut it in
toasty.
Half.
Yeah, true.
So, I think overall the breakfast was a win, although that might be a small loss. So I'm a little shaken by that physically. And I'm a little shaken by Coach Drink coming on, just throwing out my money.
Yeah, putting your business out there, Double B.
And we don't need to say it again, but that's why that guy's my favorite. And I knew he always comes with something and hits me from the side. Like I'm ready for him, I'm ready to interview him, and he hits me with, oh, let me just throw some, I know how much money you just spent on this.
You were shook on that one.
I was shook. I'm never
like,
shook.
And it's like Mob Deep up in here.
I was shook on that.
Mob Deep.
Oh,
you're like, wait a minute. Who told you that?
That's it. I thought he got lucky just knowing the amount. But here we are. We're here today. Coming up, though, we got a pretty cool set of guests. Scott Pioli, in just a second, who is one of my favorites, like as a person, as an executive, as a guy now who just can see it from 10,000 feet above, he'll be on. And then Matt Castle, who's my partner on our NFL podcast called Lots to Say, who, interestingly enough, Pioli was part of the Patriots with Castle and then traded for Castle to come to the Chiefs. And we'll also have Brandon Walker on in a bit as well, who's one of my favorite personalities. He's from Barstool. He's on Mostly Sports with Mark Titus and Brandon Walker. And again, if you guys want to call us, we would love to have you call us. The thing is, I threw all my number sheets away. So just
844-204-RICH.
Get the yellow pages.
Yeah.
844-204-RICH. 844-204-RICH.
Yeah.
Close
number.
Enough. All right. Thank you, guys. Bobby Bones in for Rich Eisen.
Bobby Bones. Woo!
NBA veteran Jim Jackson takes you on the court.
You get a chance to dig into my 14-year career in the NBA, but also get the input from the people that will be joining, Charles Barkley.
I'm excited to be on your podcast, man. It's an honor.
Spike Lee, entrepreneur, filmmaker, Academy Award winner.
Knicks fan.
So, now you see, I got you. But also how sports brings life, passion, music, all of this together.
The Jim Jackson Show, part of the Rich Eisen Podcast Network. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.